welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew, guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have a retired Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California, formerly with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department as well. And also, we have Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We appreciate it. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com. And don't forget that discount code RADIO15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Goals.com. And we have ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting. And hey, if you have an agency and you want to get recruits the right way, and that means retention and not getting them for the wrong reasons, SafeguardRecruiting.com, they're the answer. They're also our streaming sponsor, allowing us to stream to over a million followers right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. If you want cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing or the coffee mug behind me, all you have to do is go to LeoRoundtable.com, our website. Upper right corner, you'll see our online store. We don't charge anything extra. We don't make a dime for anything that we sell in the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So please check that out. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own, yes, he is here in person, Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? Guys, I got to admit, I snuck one or two in on you guys because just the news cycle, I mean, you know, that's all I do, right? I'm at night, my wife's watching TV and I got alerts going off on my phone. I'm in bed before I go to sleep and I'm getting caught up in the morning. First thing I do, I read Coffee and COVID. So this one's from Coffee and COVID, but just it's, you know what it's talking about. So I'll just read you the title of the article. They're talking about, John Solomon's Just the News. They broke a story and it's titled Trump Targeted by four FBI codenamed counter intel probes that ensnared hundreds of Americans. So we have learned about additional probes that the FBI participated in, a total of four now, targeting Trump for about a 10-year period and other people. I can't wait to talk about that. And look, this is just preliminary. This is just coming like the cat out of the bag. The other stories that we have, we've got two police officers and a suspect shot during an active shooter incident in Northwest Baltimore. I don't have a lot more information other than that on it. We're going to discuss that. The U.S. just intercepted an encrypted Iranian transmission that may have activated sleeper cells around the world, and law enforcement's on high alert. And even Travis Yates covered that on lawofficer.com. We've got arrest are coming. This is James O'Keefe. Arrest are coming. We're going to expose those mother effers. And so that's coming up. We got Florida transgender teen and a friend are charged in an alleged plot to kill a classmate to resurrect a Sandy Hook shooter. Are you kidding me? Yep, that happened. A Bridgeport officer justified in the fatally shooting an armed man who fled from police. Pasco deputy, which is in my neck of the woods, injured in a shooting after the suspect shot two other people, and that was a canine handler that got injured. And then we got Chino police released body cam footage of officers that are shooting a guy that's armed with a knife. So if we have time to get to all those, that's the plan. So let's start off with this one from Coffee and COVID. You know, I always preach about Coffee and COVID. The author and publisher of this, he's an attorney in Gainesville, Florida. His name is Jeff Childers. Sharp guy. He got his start. This is explains the Coffee and COVID name. He was helping cops and military and all these guys and public professionals, nurses and doctors that were being forced out because they didn't want to get jabbed. They didn't want to get the COVID vaccine. And so that's how he got his start. And now he still covers that stuff, but it's less, you know, in the news, although there's still some revelations that are coming out. But he's doing political commentary now, and he is like up to speed on everything. He reads all the Washington Post, New York Times, and all the articles, and he puts everything in a concise newsletter, a free one that comes out every morning around 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. It's amazing. So this one yesterday, John Solomon's Just the News broke the story as an exclusive headline: Trump targeted by four FBI name counter intel probes that ensnared hundreds of Americans. And he highlights the fact that there were four of them. Corporate media completely ignored this story, but the people watching the show, now you're aware of it. President Trump reposted the story in Truth Social. No extra comments. Beginning the summer of 2016, at the precise moment Donald Trump accepted the Republican presidential nomination, Obama's FBI launched a counterintelligence operation against him. And the first operation was codenamed Crossfire Hurricane. Now, we've all heard about Crossfire Hurricane. There's three other ones. And we probably have heard about the last one, but there are definitely two that you haven't heard of. Crossfire Hurricane was only the opening act. Over the next 4 years of the Biden auto pen regime, the FBI ran three more domestic spying operations using tools meant for terrorists and spies against Trump and Republicans. They were each called Round River, Plasmic Echo, and Arctic Frost. We've heard of Arctic Frost. So the two in the middle, Round River and Plasmic Echo, I don't think most people have heard about. The ops ran sequentially. Each successive probe started as the prior one concluded, so that the spying continued in a single, glorious, uninterrupted arc from the summer of 2016 until the final hour of the Biden administration on January 2025, literally when Trump was sworn in the office. And it goes 10 years, a whole decade of constitutional abuse. It wasn't really four different operations. It was one 10-year operation codenamed Spy on Republicans. And each successive operation swelled in size as the domestic surveillance increased. It talks about the final operation called Arctic Frost. It targeted nearly 400 conservative groups and thousands of Americans, including 1,200 people specifically identified as being protected First Amendment categories like lawmakers, defense attorneys, filmmakers, journalists. The article reported that officials said that the two middle operations, the ones that we're just hearing about, Round River and Plasmic Echo, are just beginning to be declassified so Congress can be fully read in, and it may produce some of the most troubling abuses. And this will be new, never before seen scandals. I got to admit, I'm even surprised over this one. At least a dozen members of Congress and their staffers were swept up in surveillance. It talks about eight sitting Republican senators, Chuck Grassley, Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. It goes on and on, talks about subpoenas were classified. The targets had no way to challenge them or even to know about them. And then we've got all the judges that sign off on them, which is a whole nother story. And even Cash Patel himself was surveilled by the same FBI that he's now in charge of. At least 1,200 Americans specifically identified in constitutionally protected categories were subjected to these warrants. It's talking about phone record analysis, wiretaps, grand juries, all this kind of stuff. And then lastly, it talks about Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon told James Solomon that the criminal charges are indeed possible under the Clan Act. And it talks about how these things were on paper, not even in computer systems. I mean, if you knew that they existed and you punched in the computer, it would come back, no record found. They really went to great lengths to hide this intel. And it was like just verbal only. And when one administration left, another one came in, it was just a verbal, you know, cue. There was, you know, they had everything written in paper, but it was like, it was hidden, not even in the computer system. And that was all done by design. So that's all I have. Look, there's so much more coming down about this. I'm hoping that we're going to get some indictments and some jail time finally out of people involved in stuff. But this is our FBI. We got 4 minutes before we take our first commercial break. Anything, anybody? I know that we don't have a lot of information, but Travis Yates.
Well, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about scandal after scandal after scandal, and no one's held accountable. I mean, we have a whole group of people that were pardoned by Biden over for the last decade, right? They weren't even under indictment, but he just gave blanket pardons to all these people. I don't think we know why now, by the way. I'm tired of Republicans making a big deal about this in hearings and in the media, but we don't see anybody going to jail. And if there's no one's held accountable, this will continue. And no side should be doing this. So once again, I'm sick and tired of hearing about it, Chip. I appreciate you telling me, but I want to hear where people are going to prison, because these are damning charges, right? This is crazy what they did. But this is the round. I mean, I've heard this, you know, no less than a dozen times in the last year of different things they found. Tell me who's going to jail or be quiet.
Yeah. Even James Comey's walking around, Ralph, and that a guy that I used to really like. So,
you know, first of all, you go back to even a book that Greg Jarrett wrote, The Russia Hoax. And in that book, two of his books, pretty thick books, laid out all what you just talked about. And Solomon is a great source, what he's done. And you're right, Travis, and the audience and Chip, is that, you know, you look at when my department, where the feds prosecuted us and we had people go to prison, okay? 21 deputies went to prison and some executives. Here we got so much evidence right now, as you just laid out, what as long the lines what Travis stated, when are we going to see really conclusion of somebody being prosecuted? Because just like Travis, I'm going to add on to what Travis said, is this. If this could happen to this president, What other administration could do to other presidents to insert themselves and rip apart an administration? Just think about the first 4 years in the first administration of Trump. It was all impeachment, and it really blockaded the progress of what we could accomplish in this country under that first administration. But also, I listened to Bongino's podcast quite a bit. And, you know, he stated, which you kind of brought up, Chip, boxes of reports that were in some room secluded that him and Patel looked through and started seeing all this stuff. So, you know, what frightens me really, truly, I worked with the FBI, had some great relationships. I never saw this, but there's cells within the FBI that came after a president of the United States, and that's frightening. We can't have that. We just can't have that.
I mean, Chip, Adam Schiff, the great senator there in your great state there, Ralph,
Thank you.
He went on CNN hundreds of times and said Russia was running our country and Donald Trump and Russia. I mean, they say all they, and he is still a senator today. These people, they have no shame because they know there's no accountability. They can say whatever they want, and that's going on today. They can say whatever they want.
Yep.
And these are not just Twitter trolls. These are leaders of our political world that just say whatever they want, and they know they're never going to be held accountable.
But Travis, the problem is this, and Chip and the audience, is we have the liberal legacy media that puts all this out, and plus all the stuff that's on the phones that advocate for that kind of stuff, that message.
You know, at least they got Schumer off the Intelligence Committee. So that's, I mean, but you're right. Probably should be in a jail cell without a doubt. So, guys, it's time for first commercial break. It's going to get really good. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ronellis from California, Dr. Travis Shates, retired major from Tulsa. And, you know, we've been talking about the coffee and COVID article that just came out. Attorney Jeff Childers, you know, puts it out there, and it's about these four intel operations that the FBI did over a decade against Trump and Republicans. And we just found out about two more of them that are just now getting declassified. So stay tuned for that. If you guys are ready, we've got another one coming up from Tampa Free Press. Two police officers and a suspect shot during an active shooter incident in Northwest Baltimore. Don't have a lot of information about it yet, but there was an active shooter and that happened yesterday. And during the exchange of gunfire, we had two police officers and a suspect that ended up getting shot. Emergency responders immediately transported the wounded officers to the University of Maryland Shock Trauma Center for treatment. Suspect was also struck by gunfire. And it says that that BPD, the Baltimore police, that they were on scene in charge of the active shooter incident that happened in the 6200 block of Park Heights Avenue. And so unless somebody else has some more information, that is all I have at this time. Are you guys have anything else yet? Or so hopefully tomorrow we'll have some more information about this. Hopefully the cops will be okay. I don't care about the bad guy. But Chief Ralph.
Yeah, you know, that article and then the other articles that followed, though, what made me concerned was, okay, they don't have much information. Is this something else that, like, was in line with what happened in Austin, what happened in New York City, with the article that you brought up in Toronto? And they mentioned that one article, something took place at a consulate now in the United States consulate in Oslo and Toronto. Is this these cells starting to come to surface, which leads you to the next articles, but I don't want to jump ahead of you.
Well, it's a good segue.
You're the host.
I'm glad you touched on that. So yeah, we've got three news stories for this next one, including law officers. We got the first one is newsbreak.com, lawofficer.com, and then thebureau.news. And so they're mostly talking about the same thing, but then some additional information. So the U.S. just intercepted an encrypted Iranian transmission that may have activated sleeper cells around the world, and law enforcement's on high alert. So that's basically the theme of it. And I wouldn't say it just happened, but you'll see from the article, the United States, they intercepted an encrypted transmission from Iran that officials believe could be an operational trigger to activate sleeper assets or sleeper cells around the world, in addition to the U.S. And it's put law enforcement agencies on high alert, again, not just in the U.S. The development comes as the conflict between the U.S., Israel, and Iran continues to grow. And according to The Independent, the intercepted communications are believed to be of Iranian descent. The message was sent shortly after the death of the Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. It goes on to say the alert specifically noted that the sudden appearance of a new station with international rebroadcast characteristics, which they flag as warranting heightened situational awareness. The U.S. is urging all law enforcement to be on increased alert, and especially over suspicious radio frequencies. And they also noted that there's currently no operational threat tied to a specific location. And so we've got the title and law officer, sleeper cells are a longstanding concern for U.S. officials whenever tensions rise with Iran. And of course, we've already seen, like the chief mentioned, Texas, some fragments of that. And then we've got, lastly, federal alert, Iran sleeper cells are active on U.S. soil. And we can thank our former president, Joe Biden, for that one. Commentary, Travis Shates?
Yeah, I will tell you where we got that article at lawofficer.com, which is Keith Graves. And Ralph in the narcotic circles may know about Keith. He's a former San Francisco Bay Area officer that really is one of the world's experts in narcotics investigations. But he now runs a website called ChristianWarriorTraining.com. And he broke his story before the media broke it. He's got connections all across the world. It's an incredible resource, completely free. I would recommend anybody that's concerned about terrorism, church security, personal security. He is breaking things constantly, and he's always dead right. I just saw him at the SHOT Show. He's one of my best friends, a great guy. But go to ChristianWarriorTraining.com. And we took that, what he wrote, and put right there on law.
Wow. Yeah. It was well written, actually. And it branched out to a lot of different areas than just this. And this is at a time when you've got some entities, and I believe it was a California-based entity that's saying, that's preaching, it's a California agency, and I'm trying, and I don't have the luxury of time to pull it up, but Ralph, they were telling active and retired law enforcement not to get involved with church security. That's what they were saying. And so I'll have to pull that up and then get with Travis, and then maybe have a little, rebuttal from maybe Travis's friend on the show. That would be kind of cool. But
you state that not to get involved with, but that other article was written, it was talking about alerts and what churches, synagogues for doing, alert, let your parishioners know about things. I have a few former SWAT members of LA County Sheriffs that are providing security and consulting of synagogues right now up and down the coast of California because they're concerned now.
It was from lawofficer.com of all places. California Union tells retired cops to step away from church security roles. Wow.
Well, the backstory is PORAC is concerned about the liability through whatever's going on in the state of California. So they say, don't be part of a team. Well, the problem is you got to be part of a team to give ultimate church security, right? I'm sure that's what your consultants are trying to train these churches to do, is how to form a team, how to train a team. But it was pretty wild for sure.
I did church security for years for a Bay Area church here in the Tampa Bay area that had satellite churches. It was a big operation. And the guy in charge of it for us used to be in charge of the Buccaneer security with the NFL. And I don't know how they do it out of state, but with your PI license, you have, I did dignitary protection for decades for the police department, right? Then they call it executive protection when you have your PI hat on. But I'm licensed and insured. I mean, I had $2 million of insurance, but the key was that the church, it was being separated from the church. So they didn't have the liability And in case I did something wrong, I know what I'm doing, but I also don't want to be told what to do by the church. There's always that issue. So it was a nice protection for the church, that veil. They separated us. They hired us to get the job done, and we had insurance, and they let us, you know, we knew what needed to get done. They just let us, we just did it. We did it the way we knew how, instead of being instructed by people that didn't know anything on how they do it. But we're 10 seconds out. We'll pick this up when we come back. It's time for another commercial break. Here we go. All right, guys, time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. Travis knows what it is. It's helped officers over 250,000 times, over 250,000 deployments, no injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. It's actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Travis sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by, and we've got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. And we've also got Chief Ralph Ornelas all the way from California. And guys, I believe the last main topic that we were talking about was the U.S. had, intercepted the encrypted message for sleeper cells. I think that we're going to see more stuff. I don't think that it's going to be mass terror across the United States, to be honest with you. But I don't want to say that too quickly. When I say that, I want to say this. I think that it will be that way as long as we as law enforcement, and I'm talking about active and retired, keep our heads on swivels. I want to cover the stories where we've got an active guy that's maybe off duty or a retired dude that takes somebody out. And I think that once that happens, I think that it'll give them pause. We need a lot of good guys with guns. I know there's a lot of civilians that have guns and that are trained, which I prefer because I don't want to, I know you guys don't either. Whenever I'm in a public situation and I'm thinking if something goes down, because, you know, I always run scenarios in my head. I carry a badge with me everywhere I go. When I was an active cop, I never carried a badge. When I was working, I did. But when I was off, I didn't. Statute-wise, you don't have to. But being retired and people aren't going to recognize me, dude, I'm shooting one-handed because the other hand's going to have my badge up in the air so someone won't take me out. And I worry about a civilian doing exactly that that's not trained. Yeah, Ralph.
You know, I want to address an issue that I believe, I spoke to my professor from a college, Harvey Kushner. He wrote a phenomenal book after 9/11. It's called The Holy War on the Home Front. And I spoke to him the other day, and these things he believes are going to see some incidents around our country and other countries, and that the Iranians are attacking all the Middle Eastern countries. And what they're doing is putting political pressure, all the weak politicians in our country and other countries, to have President Trump back off what he's doing right now. And I really believe that's going to be a tactic to take, because I'll tell you something, you know, these cells are in this country. When I was in Central America interviewing prisoners in certain prisons in Central America, a lot of Latinos had all Islamic writing on their back or the front of their chest. And they were given pathways to the plazas through Central America, Mexico, into the United States. And this was 2006 and 2007. Look what happened in the last 4 years of past administration. About 13 million got into this country. We don't know what they are. I think it was stated about 20,000 were terrorists, potentially associations. Go ahead, Travis.
Well, I think he's ready to roll. So let's bring up the next one. This is one I'm just going to touch on. And Travis, I don't know if you've heard about this. RVMnews.com, Red Voice Media, arrests are coming. We're going to expose the bad guys, according to James O'Keefe. So I don't know if that's tied into any of this FBI stuff that we're hearing with these two operations that are now just now being declassified, or whether he's got some other stuff. Of course, now we know that there's a lot of this fraud stuff going on in the state of California. You know, we've been concentrating in Minnesota, but there's some stuff coming down the pike. I'm just, you know, people should get ready for it. Travis Yates.
Yeah, O'Keefe said something similar before. Everything he does is breaking, and I'm glad that James O'Keefe's out there, but it never goes past James O'Keefe. Your traditional media is not going to report on it, and we very seldom see anything criminal come from it. So I'm glad he's out there, but I'm just tired of what I'm seeing, and there's no one ever held accountable. It's why it keeps happening. I mean, the Minnesota governor clearly knew that all this fraud was going on, and they pull him up to D.C. and they try to shame him for their sound bites, but he gets to go back to Minnesota and keep doing what he's doing. There's no accountability for it.
I know. I want to donate.
And the attorney general too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to publicly offer to donate a pair of handcuffs to the first bad guy they want to put it. How cool would that be to have your handcuffs going on one of the first people, you know, that are going to jail for some of the crap that they've been pulling off? How cool would that be? Oh, you know, it's kind of like
he called the kid that exposed that, you know, some sort of scam artist, and then he decided not to run for election the very next day. I mean, thank goodness we have journalists like O'Keefe and Nick Shirley, because we have no other journalists in this country, obviously.
Yeah, well, we have a CBS thing that just went down. CBS is, you know, new ownership. They got some good stuff going on. So we'll watch that. That narrative might change, at least on that side. LifeZet.com. Florida transgender teen, another transgender, and a friend charged in an alleged plot to kill a classmate to resurrect the Sandy Hook shooter. Now, I'm not going to use names because I don't like to do that. But we have two teenagers in Florida, yeah, my home state, facing attempted premeditated murder charges after authorities say they plotted to kill a fellow student at the Lake Brantley High School, and that's over in Altamont Springs, which is over by Orlando, over by Disney. And an alleged plan tied to Sandy Hook shooter, and they give his name, as reported by The Blaze. Now, the suspects, it gives their names, two females. Now, I say that to say this. They're calling them females, but they're dudes, right? 15 and 14 throughout the article, it refers to them as she's. I don't know what point in the transition process that they are. I doubt that it's much because they're so young at 15 and 14, and it says that they identify as. So take that, you know, that information and do with it what you will. They were arrested in January after police received an anonymous tip warning that a student was being targeted in a planned killing. Now, according to the Altamont Springs Police Department, the tip was received on January the 22nd, alerted authorities to a possible murder plot involving a student at a high school. So the police started investigating the report the following morning. So when they get the tip, it was probably school, probably was not in session. So on January 23rd, both girls arrive at school. By 7:38 in the morning, officers asked the security guard to remove one of them from her classroom so she could be questioned. Court documents say that she identifies as transgender and goes by the name of a male name, Jimmy. During the questioning with an assistant principal, this teenager admitted that he had been planning to kill another student, according to investigators. And again, I'm saying he, because I'm having to, it says she on my screen, but I'm having to call him what he is, a he. I'm just having to do that transformation during the live show. Authorities asked how the alleged attack was supposed to be carried out. Police say that this bad guy told them that he intended to use a knife and had already bought supplies to school. And investigators said that he handed over a backpack that contained a knife, gloves, trash bags, and wipes, if you can believe that. Police said that he told the officials that he had been hearing voices instructing him to kill the targeted student. And according to investigators, the voices told him that the student reminded him of the bad guy responsible for the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings. And authorities say that he believed that killing that student at his school would lead to the one that was the Sandy Hook shooter being resurrected. And police said that he allegedly planned to stab the student in either the neck or the stomach. Wow, forthcoming with information. Investigators say that he knew about the alleged, that the other person arrested knew about the alleged plot, helped the first person obtain items connected to the plan. After their arrest, both girls were placed in the back of a police cruiser, and the recordings, it's recording, right? It's going on. According to the Altamont Springs Police Department, it captured both teenagers. They're laughing. They're talking about the case. And they summarized the conversation by saying that the girls, the guys, discuss their arrest, their alleged plan, whether someone reported them. And the main culprit told the other one that he was going to use makeup this morning for the mugshot. And the other one said, it's over. It doesn't matter what you look like. And so these guys also discussed a blood pack related to the original Sandy Hook shooter. And it kind of goes on and on from there. But they're being charged with attempted premeditated murder. And they're being charged as adults. Travis Yates.
We don't never want to talk about pharmaceuticals when it comes to this type of stuff. And I have no idea if that's involved here. But all of these violent incidents from young people, nobody wants to talk about the pharmaceuticals that they're on, whether that's psychotropic drugs or transitioning drugs or whatever it is. And of course, they hide behind the HIPAA Act, right, where we can't talk about it. But I wish somebody would look into this, because there's something that's flipped in the last decade to cause this. And I'm just curious to know what type of drugs we're putting these kids on that they didn't used to be on, because something has changed.
You know, along those lines, and I agree with you, Travis, but it's also, I believe, marijuana. You know, this day and age, this marijuana today is not the marijuana of you and me, Chip and Travis. You know, when I was a captain of narcotics, we did a study with doctors from UCLA and USC, and they said there's no way that first shot at the title here in LA County and the California, Prop 19, to legalize it. Thank God we got in front of me and DA administrators in front of a press conference saying we can't do this. What's going to do to our young people, because it's causing psychotic and schizophrenic episodes. This marijuana today is 10, you know, it's like 40 times more potent. And if they vape it, it's 90 times the level of THC. So I agree with you, Travis, about medication, but marijuana is truly not the drug that they profess it to be.
Well, good point and good timing, Chief. It's time for our third commercial break, guys. We're going to continue this conversation in 1 second. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Rapper Nellis, all the way from California. And we may be joined back again by Major Travis Yates from Tulsa, but we just left off talking about another attempted school shooting there were two guys that identified as transgender females involved in this. They've both been arrested for the murder plot. And while disaster subverted, kind of scary stuff, Chief. Any final words on this one?
No. I think Travis mentioned something good in regards to medications. And I think that, you know, marijuana, I plead to parents and everybody watching this, you know, marijuana is not the marijuana that everybody professes it to be. So I just leave it at that.
Yeah. And of course, this was in Florida. So we will continue to watch this story. But some scary stuff.
But also, I like the other article you sent in about marijuana Supreme Court shutting down that petition to put marijuana on the ballot. I like that.
Yeah. That was surprising. So. Well, look, if you and Travis, we're just moving from the transgender story to the first video, unless you got any final words for the attempted school shooting. So,
yeah, let's do it.
All right. So our next one here, then we've got, and it's our first video. We got rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, called This Is Butter. To be honest with you, it's not This Is Butter's fault. The article did not have all the relevant information. I had to go to ctmirror.org. CT stands for Connecticut, to get more information, like did the bad guy actually have a gun? Did he die? All these other information that just wasn't in the main article. So a Bridgeport police officer was justified in fatally shooting an armed man who fled from police.
A man died just now. I'm over
yo.
Here.
Yo! 32 foot pursuit. Eastbound on Boston Ave. Yo, you're gonna get tased! You're gonna get fucking tased! Fuck! 32 taser deployed. Oh, fuck. Yo! No, no, no! 32 shots fired.
Now, it starts off, you know, we're in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They start off talking about the Connecticut Office of Inspector General, and they're talking about its rule that the police-involved shooting of Deshaun Best 1 year ago was justified. They make it sound like the cop did something, you know, wrong, and then they don't even talk about what's in his hand as being a weapon, what looked like a weapon. And so it made me, that's why I had to start doing research, because I'm thinking, wow, did they just, this guy just thought some dude had a freaking cell phone in his hand and shot him, and he's lucky he didn't get, you know, jammed up, right? Not exactly what happened. I had to go to another article to get the lowdown. Based on the totality of the circumstances, Bridgeport Police Officer Heo, that's H-E-O, reasonably believed that deadly force was necessary to protect himself from serious physical injury or death. Accordingly, he was justified in using deadly force against Deshaun Best. The office will take no further action. So that is the release from the Connecticut Office of Inspector General. Thank God I don't work in freaking Connecticut. Now, the police responded to a call of a street fight that involved an armed man. When they get there, they approach a vehicle, and look, it leaves some stuff. We covered this previously, like almost about a year ago. It kind of starts off with these two guys in a big black SUV. And on the passenger side, you've got a female officer opens up the passenger door. Now, remember, these guys had left a fight involving a gun, and she's kind of like lackadaisical. And the dude, she opens up the guy sitting there, he's got a bottle of Remy, and I look it up, and it's cognac, right? He's got a big old bottle of cognac. I like cognac, but I like Cavassier. I've never had Remy. You know, I'm just putting myself at I have a different level standard there, Travis, just so you know. So anyhow, he gets out, and he beats feet, but he's got his cell phone, and he's got his bottle of cognac in his hand. And so he's running. So this female, dude, I'm not impressed with her. She's running. And, you know, she lacks days cool, lets the guy get out of the car, lets him run away. Doesn't even get close enough to put a hands on him. And then he's like out running her like she's running like snail's pace. She's like slow motion. Like she's got like no fast twitch muscle fiber. She must be all slow twitch, dude, because I'm telling you, she was moving like slow man. And so the cop that we're concerned with now with the body cam, he gives chase and he quickly takes over and passes the female cop. So our bad guy running turns a corner through like a asphalt parking lot at a gas station, and he runs out of his shoes, come off. He's still running. He drops his cell phone, and then he falls down just before the shooting goes down. He falls down, and that's when he loses the bottle of the cognac. He held on to that. He lost his shoes and his cell phone before that cognac went. And then the cop turns the corner and he's chasing the guy. All of a sudden the cop pulls his gun out, boom, shoots the guy. It was a very fast double tap. It sounded like a single gunshot, but there were two shots fired, and the bad guy goes down and ends up dying. Now, what really, and I have in the show notes, if you go back and you watch the replay and they've got like a slow motion, oh my gosh, it shows all the stuff we just don't see with the naked eye, right? And it shows when the guy goes down on the ground and he drops his cognac, it shows something in his hand. It looks like a gun, can't really tell. But then when he's running, just before the shots are fired, I'll be damned if that gun, while he's, he's running with it, but it keeps going back further than what I would anticipate a runner holding it. It looked like he was intentionally aiming at the cop behind him, in all honesty, and the cop shoots him. And then I have to go to another source to find out that it really was a gun. It was a 9mm, you know, and it was all justified. Of course it was justified. So why they start up this article with him being cleared by the, you know, Connecticut Office of Inspector General, I don't know. It drives me crazy. Chief Ralph, make sense of it for me, please.
Well, I don't know if we're going to make sense of it, but I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm glad it was justified. But I'll tell you this right from the get-go, and you stated it, Chip. The call comes out, a man with a gun. I got to be honest with you. I've been into a lot of man with gun calls. I just don't walk up on a car. You know, I have my gun out and I'm ready. I'm ready to go just in case. And I ordered them to come out and show the hands. Okay. They didn't do that. They walked on it like it was a casual traffic stop. That bothers me. That tells me what is up here, state of mind of threat, right? And then the female opens the door. I don't care, female or male, but guess what? It's a female in this situation. She opens the door and there's no command presence in her voice, right? Number one. Number two, you always control the hands. Hands, hands, hands. Let me see hands. Well, he's got a phone and he's got a bottle, which is a weapon, all right? He steps out and she's lucky he didn't hit her with the bottle and he takes off. So, you know, I look at a shooting like this, which I review a lot of shootings, my command. You know, if you don't control the body and the hands, you get in trouble. You get in trouble. And she is fortunate and the partner's fortunate. This man, this suspect didn't get a jump on them. This incident, thank God it's justified, but that incident didn't need to happen if they really took command presence and control of the situation. And well, I did see the gun. I did see the gun when he fell, too.
Yeah, the chief is dead on about this shouldn't have happened. And as you know, Chip, I've done the most exhaustive research on pre-attack indicators, behaviors before violence in law enforcement. It's called focus training. Anybody interested in that, you can go to travisyates.org. We certify officers around the country to not only use that system, but train in that system. And let me tell you what this is. The chief is right. 94% of all violent attacks against law enforcement, there was an amplifier present, meaning a call like the chief just described. You should be acting more tactical when you get there. So, yes, that's the first mistake. Second mistake, 41% of all officer-involved shootings occur during foot pursuits. So stop pulling your taser out during a foot pursuit. And when it comes to controlling hands, the chief is right. 58% of violence against law enforcement is preceded by a concealment of hands. And so these are basics, law enforcement. The research didn't surprise me. The only thing that surprised me is no one had done it, right? No one had done it. And so we have validated pre-behavior cues so officers will stop doing what we're seeing in these videos and acting like this is a normal stop. It's not normal. And this hit on everything we talk about. And this shooting shouldn't have happened for the very reason the chief said. Because if you knew the research, you wouldn't have acted the way they acted.
Hey, you know, something else, we'd love to have a deeper conversation with you, Travis, maybe on a phone call. This is the problem today, day and age. These young officers they're worried about lawsuits. They're worried about the body weight cam. You got to take control of these situations because you know why? All my information from L.A., my previous department, the investigators I moved up, they tell me, hey, Ralphie, the cops are hesitant to take command because they're worried about phones and this. But listen, please, if people, young officers watching this, take command of a situation. Hands will kill. Hands will kill.
Well, excellent content, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. And also we've got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from Tulsa. Appreciate it, guys. I usually take this time to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. If you guys are interested in more information, all you have to do is go to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org at the website up there on the screen as well. Guys, we've got about 30 seconds. Any final words to our listening audience? I know Chief Ralph, you do a lot of fentanyl training as well. Any final words to anybody?
I just plead to the parents and the youth of our communities, please don't get on Snapchat. You cannot buy any medication on Snapchat. It's legitimate or legal.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's an issue. And of course, we've got our Mexican initiative where we're helping them out as well with our special forces teams, which is kind of never been done before that I know of. And I know you've got some experience, you know, down there as well. So, in fact, you're probably sitting on a lot of intel from down there, Chief. So, a shout out again to our sponsors: Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearner.com, MedicareLife, SafeGuardRecruiting, and TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.